Citizens Council Forum is presented by the Citizens Councils of Mississippi. The Citizens Councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the left-wing theories of power-hungry pressure groups. The Citizens Councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, your host for the evening.
Hello again, everyone. Dick Morphew welcoming you to another edition of the Citizens Council Forum. Incidentally, at the end of this program, we will announce our new time for this series, so please stay tuned. Our guest this afternoon in the WLBT studios is a very prominent Jackson attorney, Mr. John Kirkendall, Jr. Mr. Kirkendall is a graduate of the Ole Miss Law School. From 1940 until 1943, he was an agent with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. He was an assistant state attorney general from 1947 till 51 after serving in the Navy during the war. Then he entered the law partnership with the late Governor Fielding Wright and Webb Overstreet, Jr. The firm is now named Wright, Overstreet, Kirkendall & Perry. Mr. Kirkendall, glad to have you with us this afternoon.
Glad to be with you, Dick.
First off, let's establish our subject for the afternoon. And I think that you probably have one word that could summarize that, don't you?
Well, Dick, what I have to say, of course, is just one lawyer's opinion. And the subject that I believe we can talk about this afternoon is the subject of segregation in our public schools and a right that I believe that every individual has and can enjoy and should protect. That is the right of the freedom to select his associates.
And so individual freedom is the primary topic.
Yes, that's right, Dick.
Do you feel, to establish some common ground here, do you feel that segregation can be maintained in Mississippi public schools?
As long as nearly all of the white race in Mississippi stands firmly determined to maintain segregation, then segregation can be maintained. Forces from without the state cannot dictate nor determine our social customs. Integration cannot be accomplished by the nigger race alone. There must be some white people involved for integration to take place in any school, church, or other place where two or more people gather.
Well, now, how does this tie in with the question of individual freedom?
Well, every individual, Dick, whether white or colored, has an inalienable right to decide whether he will associate with another person. He has the further right to discriminate against anyone in making this selection, and not even the Supreme Court of the United States can divest him of this right. Only those who are physically deprived of their freedom and liberty lose this right.
In other words, the only place where you're not free to choose your own associates is in jail.
That's right.
And is there any limitation on this individual freedom of choosing one's associates?
Yes, Dick, every person's right to select who he will associate with is limited by the other person's and other people's right of selecting his associates.
You used the word discrimination a moment ago, and to some of our viewers who haven't heard the word used other than in court decisions recently, discrimination has come to take on sort of a nasty sound. It didn't always have that, did it?
Well, Dick, the word discrimination has two entirely different meanings. To say that a woman is discriminating in the selection of her clothes is a compliment. This means that she separated the clothes she selected to wear by discerning differences between the clothes she selected and other clothes. Certainly, if she has this right in the selection of clothes, no one could deny her the same right in the selection of the people with whom she will study, worship, or otherwise associate. The other meaning of the word discrimination goes further and includes separation by an unfair or injurious distinction. This meaning probably became attached to the word when legislatures and Congress began enacting laws applying to common carriers, which required carriers such as railroads to treat all shippers alike. Now, for a railroad to make available preferential or advantageous rates to one customer, which are not available to other customers similarly situated, is an act of discrimination under this other meaning of the word discrimination. Such acts are unlawful because the people, through their duly elected representatives in Congress and state legislatures, have adopted laws defining such acts as unlawful.
But now this applied only in this particular sense to interstate commerce.
Yes, the federal government's jurisdiction over such unlawful discriminations do apply and have been limited by the U.S. Supreme Court only to interstate commerce. And all such acts that are carried on solely within any particular state have been left to the legislatures of the various states.
Then, in other words, something could be perfectly legal in one state, and another state, under its laws, could call it discrimination.
That's right. Certainly could.
This all gets back, of course, to the 1954 Supreme Court decision on school segregation. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, ordinarily, courts interpret legislative acts after their adoption. The Supreme Court of the United States, in its first opinion in the segregation cases, upon his so-called psychological knowledge, which is the term that court used in that decision, of modern authority, which is another term it used, held that segregation is a denial of the equal protection of the laws under the 14th Amendment of the Federal Constitution. It is interesting to note that the court did not even use the word discrimination in this first opinion in May of 1954, but 1 year later, in May of 1955, in another case, stated that his previous decision declared, quote, racial discrimination in public education is unconstitutional, end quote.
In other words, 1 year after their original decision, they put in a few more words saying what they meant when they said it the first time.
Evidently, the matters that had appeared in the press and the public discussion caused them to strengthen their previous decision in that manner.
Most of these segregation decisions and others based on the term discrimination come within the meaning of the 14th Amendment. Now, exactly what does this 14th Amendment do in terms of discrimination and segregation and such?
Well, as you know, the 14th Amendment was adopted after the Civil War, and there's been quite a bit of controversy as to whether it was legally adopted. But regardless of those things, the 14th Amendment to the Federal Constitution is composed of five sections. The first section includes the prohibition that no state shall, and I shall quote, deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws, end quote. And then the fifth section of the same 14th Amendment reads as follows, quote, the Congress shall have power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. End quote.
Now, in the nearly 100 years that this 14th Amendment has been on the books, has Congress done anything towards enforcing it?
No, Congress has adopted no law attempting to enforce these matters that the Supreme Court now says were intended by the 14th Amendment. And the only appropriate legislation which Congress ever could enact concerning segregation in the public schools and enforce will be with respect to schools under federal jurisdiction, because any state may evade federal jurisdiction over its state-supported schools by simply abolishing the state-supported schools.
Well, even before the Supreme Court decision was made, many people in Mississippi and the people in the legislature in Mississippi realized that it was basically unfair to provide modern new school buildings for one race and old tumble-down shacks for another, and so a very ambitious school equalization program was undertaken, which is still underway. Does the court now say that we were wrong in trying to equalize schools?
Despite the efforts that we have made here in the state, the Supreme Court of the United States still attempts to tell us that we must go further. They attempt to tell us that it will be unlawful discrimination unless the Negro student can have the association of white students. Now, in my opinion, this is something that is not within the power of either the Supreme Court or the state to require against the will of the people involved. To require any individual to associate with another against his will is a direct invasion of the right of freedom of association we all enjoy under the law of nature.
We all have the right, then, to choose our own associates, and any attempt to tell us otherwise is sort of going against something which most everybody regards as one of his God-given rights.
That's my opinion.
Well, Mr. Kirkendall, what do you feel about the possibilities for continuing the operation of a segregated school system in Mississippi and in the other southern states?
Well, Dick, I think this second opinion of the Supreme Court in May of 1955 went much further than the court's first opinion. The first simply reversed previous decisions of the Supreme Court upholding state laws requiring segregation, whereas in the second opinion, the court not only ruled that segregation is racial discrimination and therefore unconstitutional, but it also decreed that there can be no state or local law permitting segregation. It is respectfully submitted that so long as state-supported schools can continue to operate without federal funds, neither the United States Supreme Court nor Congress can enforce integration against the will of the people of this state acting with unity of their own leaders, because the social relations of men cannot be enforced by law.
And would you suggest that the people would organize to combat this?
Yes, Dick. Of course, the strength of the opposition has been the organization that they have had. Now, what we're talking about is an individual right of a person here in Mississippi. That is the freedom of association.
Mr. Kirkendall, I'm sorry to break in now, but our time for this afternoon is up. We have a new time to announce for the Citizens Council Forum. Starting in this coming Wednesday night, we'll be on at approximately 9:45, right after the Wednesday night fights. However, next Wednesday night, we have a championship fight. We may or may not be on. We'll be hoping for a quick knockout and see you then. Good afternoon, everyone.
If you believe in states' rights, if you believe in segregation, if you realize that indifference and apathy are our greatest enemies, then you should immediately join your local Citizens Council. For information, call Aright Citizens Council's Greenwood. In Jackson, call Aright Citizens Council Plaza Building. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that segregation in Mississippi shall be maintained.